Luke 11, the Lord's Prayer. Luke's accounting of the Lord's Prayer is a little different than Matthew's, but as we've been working our way through Luke's Gospel, we have paused for these weeks to take this great prayer, this Lord's Prayer, and to look at it phrase by phrase. And so we come then to the fifth in this series on the Lord's Prayer from Luke 11, beginning with verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, give us each day our daily bread.'" There's a great story from the little Focus on the Family magazine. It's a story that was published 20 years ago now, so it's a little while ago. It was a story written by a single mom, Virginia Pritchard, and she entitled her little piece in the Focus on the Family magazine, "Five Loaves and Five Turkeys." And here's in part what this little article from 20 years ago, what she wrote. She said, "Often broken, often discouraged, our broken, often discouraged single-parent family lived in the suburbs of Philadelphia. As usual, bills accumulated and financial pressure intensified. We had little food and no money to buy groceries. One Friday, while I was home during a lunch break, I did what came easily. I sat on my bed and cried." Ever done that? "During my crying and groaning, the phone rang. I'm from the Philadelphia Inquirer Action Line, and I understand you could use a Thanksgiving dinner. We would like to know where you shop so next Tuesday you can go to the store of your choice and pick up a gift card. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving." My reaction was joy, relief, and excitement, plus guilt. I had neglected to trust the Lord who remains faithful. Glancing at the clock, I rushed back to work and straight to a friend's office. Barbara had heard me exclaim many times that Jesus loves us. With great enthusiasm, I told her what happened. She responded with a glint in her eye, "Ginny, I'll do one better than that. I have a turkey that was given to us in the freezer. I'll bring it to you on Monday morning, and you can spend the extra money on something else." On Tuesday, as we put the groceries away at home, I was reflecting on how faithful God is even when our trust falters. Thus, as I was about to shut the cabinet, the doorbell rang. "Is your mother home?" someone asked one of my children. "We are from the Church of the Open Door. We have brought you your Thanksgiving dinner." With my mouth still open, we watched as they brought in 7 bags of groceries and a 21-pound turkey. We had to clear space for the groceries in the bathroom linen closet and laundry room and under one bed. As we were preparing for bed that night, I received another phone call from Carol, a friend from church. "Ginny," she said excitedly, "John and I have just come from the market and we bought food for Thanksgiving. We want you and the kids to come over and we won't take no for an answer. Give us this day our daily bread." Back in 2011, in the spring, Laurel and I were in Kenya. And I can remember late in the afternoon sitting on the orphanage grounds. Laurel was sitting over by the side of a building with a couple ladies, 2 or 3 ladies. And one of the ladies that she was talking with had a container of corn about the size of a large coffee mug. And she excitedly told Laurel, she said, "You know, I managed to scrape together just a few shillings to purchase this cup of corn." And she said, "Now all I need is several more shillings to get it ground into flour." And then her next words were amazing. She said, "Isn't God good?" Give us this day our daily bread. We don't know anything about hunger in this country. I don't care what anybody says. Until you go to a third world country. We don't know what hunger really is in this country. We don't have concerns about where our next meal comes from. In this country, in the United States, what are we worried about? We're worried about obesity, not hunger. In the United States, some 40,000 grocery stores, I looked it up, it's an amazing number, 40,000 grocery stores, all of them well-stocked with just this amazing array, overwhelming array of food products. And you think about when we go home today, how much food do we have in our houses? I think about what my wife and I have at home. We have a pantry, all kinds of canned goods in there. Down the basement, stuff that we've canned from our garden, all kinds of things down the basement. We were kind of counting some of them yesterday. We have two refrigerators, three freezers. Some of you might not have quite that much, but you think about what you have in your house right now. It's an amazing amount. There was a study done by Harvard University last June of 2018, on the subject of Americans and food. And I think, as all of you know, we as Americans throw an amazing amount of food away. Here's what the Harvard study found is in 2018, we as Americans threw away $165 billion worth of food. The study also found that 40% of all of the food that is produced for use by Americans is never eaten. The Harvard study also went on, and that when it comes to food that's thrown away, 160 billion pounds of food a year dumped in landfills. And we as Americans, in the richest country that's ever been on the face of the earth, we waste 150,000 tons of food every day, according to the USDA. So in this country, we don't understand anything about food scarcity, let's be honest. We don't understand famine. We don't understand dire poverty where you have a little cup of corn and you're hoping you might get 3-4 cents to get it ground so you can make bread. We don't understand anything about that. So then what does it mean when we come to this petition in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread? What does it really mean for us? Oftentimes it's just pious words in a memorized prayer. Pretty much what it is. Luther, in the Catechism, as he works his way through the Lord's Prayer, with each of the petitions, he asks the question, those of you from confirmation days may recall, what does this mean? Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? Here's what Luther writes. God certainly gives daily bread to everyone, even to the wicked, without our prayers. But we pray in this petition that God would make us aware of His gifts and enable us to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What does Luther say in the explanation? He says, God provides daily bread to everybody, even without any of us praying for it. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? But Luther's insight comes from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 45, says this, "For your heavenly Father makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends His rain on the just and the unjust." So when God sends the rains, He doesn't look down and say, well, there's a field of somebody who never goes to church. Here's a field of somebody who doesn't believe in me and just steers the rain around. I'll teach them. God's grace, we call it in theology common grace. God's grace of daily provision is equally for the just and the unjust, for the evil and the good, Jesus says. Luther says in the explanation, God gives daily bread to everybody, even the wicked, without our prayers. Okay, so then why pray? See, that's the question. If that is so, why ask God to provide what He already said He's going to provide for everybody, evil and wicked persons alike? Did you listen to what Luther said in his explanation? Luther says there's two reasons. He says, we pray in this petition that, number one, God would make us aware of his gifts, that we might be reminded on a regular basis, so as we sit down for a meal and thank God for our food, we are being reminded that even though we are overwhelmed with food in this country, it's God's gift. And if it were not for his gift, we would not have it. So Luther says that God would make us aware of his gifts, and beyond bread itself, of course, you understand. And then Luther says, and that God would enable us to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving, so that as we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, God, you do it, even apart from our prayers. How amazing and gracious you are, I give you thanks. That every time we pray that petition, it would stir up in us a heart of thankfulness for all of God's provision in every way. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm sure you realize that daily bread encompasses far more than literal bread. Because as you recall, the Lord's Prayer is a pattern for prayer. It's a model for praying. And so anything in life that we can pray for, that you can think of from A to Z, comes under one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Comes under one of the seven. And so when you think about daily bread, what we understand is, because this is a pattern for prayer, is that anything that has to do with life in this world comes under the petition, give us this day our daily bread. And here's what Luther writes in the Catechism. So he asks, what does this mean? And then he gives the answer. Then he goes on, the second question is, what is meant by daily bread? And here's what he writes. Everything required to satisfy our bodily needs, such as food and clothing, house and home, fields and flocks, money and property, a pious spouse and good children, trustworthy servants, godly and faithful rulers, good government, seasonable weather, peace and health, order and honor, true friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. He writes, daily bread. Well, I want us this morning to take the words of this petition and focus on them one by one. And I want us to consider the significance of each of the words in this petition, give us this day our daily bread. Let's start with the word give, the word give. The word give, if you think about what it expresses our dependency on God. The word reminds us that nothing good in life is self-generated. It reminds us that whatever I need in daily life, God gives it to me, whatever it is. It is his gracious gift. I'm sure most of you, all of you probably, recall the story of the manna in the wilderness. The story is given in Exodus chapter 16. The people of Israel come out of Egypt, and they cross the Red Sea. They come to a place called Elim. Exodus says, a place that was really pleasant. There was abundant water there, palm trees everywhere. This is where we're going to camp out for a while, although they didn't camp for very long there. They needed to continue on their journey. So they head out into the wilderness, and as they head out into the wilderness, away from those springs of water, away from the palm trees and all of that, the whole congregation of Israel grumbles against the Lord and against Moses. And they say to Moses and Aaron, I know why you brought us out here. You brought us out here so that we might die from hunger in this desolate place. Well, what does the Lord do? He makes to Moses and to the people a promise. He says in Exodus 16, verse 4, I'm about to rain bread from heaven. I'm about to give what all of you need. In fact, in verse 12, the Lord says, you will be filled with bread. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That whatever you need for the day, I will give it to you. Out of my grace, out of my mercy. Well, he told them, when you gather the manna, don't gather enough for like the week, because it's not going to last. You need to learn what it means to trust me to give you day by day what you need. So don't store it up in your tent somewhere. But some of the people were saying to themselves, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is great. We got manna here. I'm not sure it's going to be here tomorrow. God says it will, but who knows? So they collected as much as they could, and they stored it in their tent just to be sure. And of course, you remember what Exodus says. The very next day they got up, and the manna that they had stored from the previous day was rancid. It had a terrible stench to it, and worms were crawling all through it, the book of Exodus says. But God gave to them what they needed. And what does the Bible say in Exodus chapter 16, verse 12? What was the purpose of the daily manna? God tells them. It says, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." That the giving of what they needed for that day, it was so they might have personal acquaintance with a God who loves his own, a God who cares, a God who knows our needs, a God who gives abundantly. You'll be filled with bread, whatever it is that you need. And Moses goes on later in the book of Deuteronomy where he retells the story of the manna in the wilderness. And he says the ultimate purpose of the giving of the manna was not so much that there was food to eat every day in the wilderness, but the ultimate purpose was that so you as a people, Moses said, would learn that God is the one who gives all things and he is the source of your life. That's the reason. And so when Jesus invites us to pray, "Give us," he's calling us to thankfully recognize that all of life is God's gift. He's calling us to recognize that every good and perfect gift, daily bread, whatever it is, every good and perfect gift, James 1:17, is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so that word "give" expresses dependency on God. The next words, "this day," or as it's translated here in our text, "each day." When you really understand the words "this day" and you lay hold of them, it eliminates anxiety from life. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I want us to look in a little bit of detail at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you notice in your Bibles, at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has just given the Lord's Prayer in the version that we pray it together on Sundays. He's just given the Lord's Prayer, and following up on that, Jesus addresses the matter of anxiety and worry. What is today going to bring? What is tomorrow going to bring? Can God give? Can God provide? What if he doesn't? And I want you to notice Jesus, as he talks about this matter of anxiety and worry, something we all struggle with. Jesus asks a series of three questions, and I want you to notice them in the text. The first one, look at verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." And here's question one. "Is not life more than food?" Yes. "And the body, is it not more than clothing?" Yes. What is Jesus saying in this question here? Jesus says, take this life of yours. Just think about your own life. Where does your life come from? What's the source of your life? And Jesus says in this text, well, it's a gift of God. All right, so if your very life is a gift of God, if God has given to you that greatest gift, the gift of life, do you not think that God will then provide all that is needed to sustain your life? You think about that greatest gift. It doesn't do any good to have food on the shelf and a car in the garage and money in the bank if you're not living. And so what Jesus is saying is God has given you the gift of your life. And if he's given you that gift, that greatest gift, will he not then give everything to sustain it? And the answer, of course, that Jesus gives in this text is yes, he will. Is not life more than food, the body than clothing? Then he asks a second question. And he asks it a couple times in two different forms. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And here's question number two, are you not of more value than they? Yes. And then verse 28, he talks about the grass and the lilies, and he rephrases the question, the same question basically, but in other words. Verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 26, are you not of much more value? Will he not much more, O you of little faith? Jesus points out something obvious. The birds of the air don't sow in the spring. They don't reap in the fall. Neither do the flowers, the grass of the field, the trees in the forest, whatever it is. But Jesus says God meets the needs of birds and flowers and grass. Why? Because he created them. And because he created them, he cares for them. Now you think about for us, God also created us. But for us as believers, God is far more than our creator. Did you notice the words that we read? He's our what? Our Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And so God is not a father to birds and flowers and grass, yet he watches over them. Not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without his noticing. I mean, that's the level of God's care for birds and flowers and grass. And so if God takes care of those elements of creation through his gracious general providence over all things, how much more will he provide for his own sons and daughters? That's the question. When you understand that, it eliminates anxiety from daily life. Notice the third question, verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Not one of you. See, our days on earth are numbered. The psalmist tells us that. And no amount of scheming or planning or worrying or fretting is going to extend our lives, Jesus says, even beyond what 1 hour, beyond what God has determined. Which of you by being anxious can add to your life? No, you can't. So why are you anxious about it? And so you notice then as Jesus draws all this together, look at verse 31 and verse 34, there's a therefore in each of the verses. Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious. Look at the end of verse 32. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things of life. Verse 33, but seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus says, don't import the troubles of tomorrow into today. Each day has enough troubles of its own. And so those words, this day, just as with the manna, go back to that just for a moment, as God provided the manna every day, faithfully every day, when you understand God's provision, when you understand what Jesus says in Matthew 6, it eliminates then anxiety from life. Let's think about the word daily just for a moment. Give us this day our daily. It sounds kind of redundant, maybe in the prayer, doesn't it? But I want us to think about daily this way. As I put it in the little outline, it encourages us to be regular in prayer. How often we pray only when we're in trouble? All of us, how many of us pray the most when we're in trouble? Yep, we all raise our hands. That's how it works, isn't it? And so when life is good, as we define life being good, we have a good income, health is fine, everybody in the family's pretty much doing okay. What do we in essence say to God? God, I'm fine for now. I'm okay for now. I don't really need to talk to you about much. But when I get myself into a little bit of a corner or when my supply runs low, I'll let you know and I'll come ask you for what I need. Now, this little word daily reminds us that you and I cannot live without the regular supply of God's mercies and provision in every way. And it reminds us that every day we need to lift our hearts in request, in thankfulness. It encourages us not to pray this prayer when we need something in life. You know, we coast along and then one day, oh, I need something. I'm going to pray to you about it. No, regularity. Just say, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. Continue to provide for all that I need from day to day. Let's look at the word bread for a moment. The word bread, you think about in the ancient world, bread was like the staple of life. And so Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. That word emphasizes that God has sufficient supply for all our needs. Somebody has put it well this way. God promises to meet our needs, not our greeds. In fact, I want you to notice something else about this petition, by the way. It is to see where this comes in the order of the Lord's Prayer. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we don't pray, Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. That's not where you start. Because if you start there, you'll ask requests outside the will of God. But you think about the order of the Lord's Prayer. Where does this petition come in the order of the requests in the prayer? What Jesus wants us to understand is that it is only when God's person and God's purposes have their rightful place in your life that you can properly pray this petition. So it's only when you can rightly pray, hallowed be your name. That's the first one, of course. It's only when you can rightly pray, hallowed be your name. May you be revered and honored and worshiped. May all people see your nature, see your true character. May the priorities of my life be centered in you. May my life be an expression of worship. It is only when you pray, hallowed be thy name, and it's only when you pray, your kingdom come. May the gospel go forth with power. May people be saved everywhere. May the work of your church flourish here and everywhere around the world. May you be Lord of my life. May you be Lord of my family, of my decisions. May I be part of carrying out your great commission. It is only when you pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and if you take the petition from Matthew's account, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done in all things. May it be done in my life. May my life conform to your agenda. It's only when you pray all of that that you get to give us this day our daily bread. It's only when you seek the glory of God first and foremost in all things. It is only when you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. It is only when your heart is surrendered to His will and to His purposes, it is only then that you can rightly pray that petition, give us this day our daily bread. And when you pray it in the context of those first requests, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Then when you pray about your daily bread, you will not pray, God, here's what I want. That won't be the spirit of your prayer. You will not pray self-centered requests then outside the will of God. So let me say it again. This petition, bread reminds us that we are praying for our needs, not our greeds. And God supplies our needs. We live in a culture of accumulation. For us as Americans, enough is never enough. But what does the Bible say? Paul says to Timothy, if we have the necessities of life, if we have our daily bread, if we have our needs met, food, clothing, the like, let us be, Paul says, content with that. And then there are two other words in this petition. The words are us and our. Reminds us that this is a family prayer. When we pray this petition, it's not, Lord, I pray for me, my wife, us four, no more, amen. It is not give me my day, my daily bread. It is give us our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. When we pray, that's why we pray for somebody who's sick, because there's an us and our in the prayer. Does somebody need a job? We pray for that. Give us this day. It's not just, well, I'm doing fine. I've got a job. Hopefully it all works out for him or her. No, this is a family prayer. And so the us and our engages us as we pray this petition. We pray it not just for ourselves, but we pray it for others. And we pray it for those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a beautiful little prayer that goes like this. Heavenly Father, to those who hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread, give them a hunger to share. It's a good prayer. That's the sense of this request. There's a great story that comes from the life of Hans Egede. Hans Egede was a Norwegian Lutheran missionary who is known as the Apostle to Greenland. He's the one who first brought the gospel to the island of Greenland. And Hans Egede came to the island of Greenland in 1721 as a pioneer missionary. And he had a tremendous mission. He reached a number of the Greenlanders for Christ. And of course, as is true with all missionaries to unreached people groups, they don't have the Bible in their language. And so one of missionary Agata's first concerns as he began to gather a group of new converts is, I need to get the Bible in their language. And of course, translators always start with the New Testament, which he did. Well, translation work is often a challenge in more ways than one. And he was working on translating the Lord's Prayer, and he came to this petition, give us this day our daily bread, and he was stuck. He had no idea how to translate it into the native language because the people of Greenland in 1720s had no bread. They had no idea of what it was even like. They had no word for it. And so how do you translate this petition? Give us this day our daily bread. And so he considered how to translate it into their language, something they would understand. And here's the translation he came up with. So as they prayed the Lord's Prayer, all those early petitions, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Then they came to this one. Give us this day our daily seal. Fitting for the people of Greenland, isn't it? Give us this day our daily seal. What is it of daily bread that you need? I want to just end with this morning. What is it that you need? Maybe it is a significant decision you need to make, and you need wisdom, and you don't know which way to go. Give us this day our daily bread. Maybe you're facing a health concern for yourself, somebody else. Maybe you're afraid of an uncertain future about who knows what. Give us this day our daily bread. Maybe issues in your marriage. Maybe concerns about one of your children. Give us this day our daily bread. Maybe you're just overwhelmed with everything. You can't really even put your finger on it. You're just run down and tired and overwhelmed, and you wish you had more energy and focus. Lord, I'm just kind of going from day to day. Give us this day our daily bread. Maybe there are issues in the community that concern you. Give us this day our daily bread. Maybe as farmers, you're concerned about weather and rain and prices and trade and tariffs. Give us this day our daily bread. God invites us to pray about anything that impacts our life in this world. We can rely upon Him. He calls us to trust Him because He's always faithful. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray together. Lord, this morning, daily bread means something different probably for each one of us here. None of us are going to walk out of church saying, where is my noon meal coming from? I don't have any money. I don't have any groceries. No, it's not going to be true for any one of us. But as Luther reminds us, daily bread is a whole, almost unending list of things. For all the things of life, all the concerns and fears and needs that we have, we are invited to pray about all of them. And so, Lord, we thank you that as we lift our hearts to you, and as we do so right now, Lord, whatever daily bread is for each person right now, may he or she just, in the quietness of the heart and spirit, just say, Lord, you've promised you'll give what I need. You just said it. We talked about it this morning. Lord, I'm laying hold on that promise. Lord, give to me in these days to come that daily bread that I so much need. And Lord, through it all, may your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in my life and my circumstances. So Lord, teach us what it is to rightly pray. Teach us what it is, Lord, to trust you for everything in daily life. You never fail. Jesus never fails. Thank you, Father, that is so. We pray in his name. Amen.